Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is Let's Turncoat Tuesday. How appropriate. It's also the 19th day of June, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program. Listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610 and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 72 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 77 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it's warming up nice. It's looking like summer. We'll take it. Alrighty then, I guess. Hey, man, it's Education Day. We're going to teach you guys about the flags, what a flag means, what a flag is, what that Stars and Stripes is all about. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. I was listening to Tory Radio this morning over at the Micro Effect. And Joe McNeil's big to-do today was over they'd taken some foreigners had bought the truck stop and taken the American flag down. And God damn, it was just a terrible thing. No respect for the flag and all it stands for. So I had to, you know, you guys know me. I had to go over into the chat room and I said that rag represents international tyranny. And those foreigners that came over here, well, the government under that flag is the one that brought them here to take that flag down so that we could kill each other over a rag. And, oh, man, what I said, people. Whoo. McNeil came up and he read it on the air. And he said that, you know, from the trenches over there, said that we were asking for help over there. Would you help somebody who would piss on our flag? Because I told him I'd piss on his flag. And then, it went on and, Texas Larry, he's one of them charlatans out there, you know, he's got his own interests, owns land down there, a bunch of land, he's a real estater kind of dude who calls in there every once in a while, and he said to anybody who didn't get a lump in their throat when they're holding their hand over their heart and looking at that flag and listening to that national anthem, need to leave. I'll tell you what, Larry, you're the one that's leaving, buddy. Because I'm going to teach you guys something about the flag today. You know, that's, and Corky, you know, he's smarter than the rest of them over there. So, of course, he jumps in and he's got, he's going to throw in the title, the United States Code 1, Peace Flag, Free Flag of Peace. But that argument doesn't hold water, you see, because we're going to start off with realizing that, you know, what does that flag, I mean, they want me to respect that flag, you see? And to respect that flag, you got to, why would I respect it? What's it stand for that I respect? Well, like I said, it does stand for international tyranny. You know, it stands for, I talked yesterday about over there, shock and awe, over there in Baghdad. You know, them loading them little children into the back of that truck, unprovoked attack on a lie. It represents that. It represents 100 million of my people who, you know, were international banks took everything they owned back in 2008. It represents that. But then they'll come back and they'll say, it represents our military. Yeah, well, that's and government, ain't it? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for stirring the pot like that this morning, man, you know, because I'm not gonna follow that standard into battle when you're mentioning what you're mentioning right now. You know, I ain't about that that doing harm and that criminal crap, man. You know, for all you faggots out there who are, you can kiss my ass.
I hear you, brother.
Anyway.
But the thing is, we need to discuss that flag. You know, we've talked before. You know, they talk about the American Revolution, and that's a flag of our country and all the pride and shit. I was going to dismiss Cornkey's argument on Title IV. Okay, Mark, I hope somebody gets this to you because you need a little education here. Now, that flag was created through federal statute. The Title IV United States Code One flag was given the authority and its essence from federal legislation. That flag is only applicable in that 10-mile square. That's the only place that flag can be flown, because it's to fly over a military. Okay, you got the military flag, but the other flags were to fly over civilian, like if you had a courthouse or something, you know, that wasn't supposed to be military. It was supposed to be, the municipalities, you know, you had the elections to have your common law court so you could have your common law judges. And you know, that's where I think they got the idea of bringing that flag in. That's a federal flag. Now, the federal government and we the people have not one goddamn thing to do with one another past the little bit of authority that we gave them that ends where the tide ebbs and flows and with inside that 10-mile square. Now, of course, they had to start putting out, you know, how did it get out? How'd that flag get out here? Well, we had to have your military bases because you were conquering the natives of the country, so you had to have military bases. And, of course, they had to fly the military flag of the United States because it was the United States, not the states that were taking the territories from the Indians. And, of course, the post offices. And this is, I mean, flags are jurisdiction. That's how the jurisdiction spread. And this jurisdiction that Joe McNeil and Mark Cornkey and all these guys seem to hate so fucking bad, that's represented by that federal flag, boys. Now let's look at a little deeper into flags. Now we'll go back to Lexington and Concord. We've talked about how the people rose up against the aristocrats, the king's men in the colonies who were inflicting tyranny upon them in the name of the king. When these people stood up, there was no government. When you go into open rebellion, there's no fucking government for you. You're alive until you're dead or until you conquer, and then you have a government. But that ain't how they did it, is it? This has been the genius of their forte since the beginning of this whole shitting thing called the United States of America, is their ability just to move in and hijack shit. Now, what flag do you think that when they when the king's men, let's look at it like this, okay, the British flag, prior to the revolution, not the revolutionary, right, prior to the uprising in 1775, that was the flag of every man jack of us in this country. We were British citizens. That was our sovereign flag. That was the flag of our king. Many of the people who fought in the so-called Revolutionary War, I hate to call it that, because it was hijacked. But a lot of the people that fought in that war, especially the people who directed and ran that war, they had fought under that flag, that British flag. And they'd fought, you know, in the French Indian Wars. And, you know, that flag there, that was their song. I mean, do you try back in them days? Before you just said something against that flag? Well, it'd be the same as me telling Joe McNeil I pee on his flag today. It would just be unacceptable. But what happened? Well, that goddamn tyranny, the greed of the crown heads of Europe, and especially the goddamn King George, it just got clear out of control. And he wanted more and more. And to get more, you had to get more out of the goddamn people that were here. So you had to squeeze them. You had to take their shit. You had to beat them. You had to tax them. And pretty soon, when the people look up at that goddamn flag, that's what they saw, wasn't it? But do you know there was a group of people in this country after 1775 when the people rose up against the tyranny that British flag represented? When they would take, when them people there, they would go out there and they'd piss all, they'd shit on that goddamn flag, a picture of King George, they'd piss on it because they had nothing but contempt for what that flag that they once loved and revered meant to them in their lives, what was right in their faces that was happening to them. But like I said, there was a group of people, even after the uprising, even after the hijacking, there was a group of people who still revered that flag. That was their flag, and God damn, it'd be just like Joe McNeil. If you said anything, if those, you know, they even went out, those rebels who would pee on that flag, people like Joe McNeil, they went out to in defense of their flag, and they burned down the farms and the homes and killed the children and women of the rebels in the name of that flag that they revered. They had a name for those people. They called them Tories. And today, if Joe McNeil, you are a Tory. And Mark Kornke, for going along with it, you're a Tory. That fucking flag represents tyranny. Nothing but it. It will go down in the annals of history with the swastika and the hammer and sickle as representing the most diabolical murder, genocide, rape that has ever existed on this planet. It's right up there with Mao Zedong's star on the red flag, communist flag. The flag, they act like that flag, and just the coloring a piece of cloth, it constructs something. No, that is an emblem. It is the emblem of the so-called government of the United States, which has been, well, again, the reason Mark Kornke's Title I won't fly, because, like I said, that was legislated under federal legislation, under the Constitution, and as the Constitution as a contract has been breached, clear out of existence, to the point that it cannot be retrieved till it has to be rejected, everything that came from it goes with it. We're back to the people and the goddamn just in our minds, our rights and our guns. That's where we're at. We're back to Lexington and Concord. And that fucking rag is like I said, it's an emblem of treachery. You see, well, let's go back and let's look at the Bradford flag. Now, what were they flying there at Lexington and Concord? Surely they had a flag that was a military engagement. The Bedford flag is the oldest known flag in the United States. It is associated with the Minutemen of Bedford, Massachusetts, and the battles of Lexington and Concord in 1775. The flag is made of crimson silk, damasked, measuring approximately 27 by 29 inches. The painted on design depicts an armored arm grasping a straight sword. The two sides are asymmetrical. The sword appears behind the motto on one side and appears in front of the motto on the other. The Latin motto, this is the motto that was on the flag that them boys were holding that day when they said, "You're not taking my fucking rights. I'm not your boy. I'm not going to be your slave." The motto read in Latin, "Vince at mori," and that means conquer or die, because that's what it fucking was. Reads from the top to the bottom on one side and from the bottom to the top on the other. Unit flags served as important functions as a rallying point on the battlefields of the 18th century. With the passage of time, the Bedford flag came to be a political symbol. No, what this is the word for hijacking. This is how they took a people's uprising and turned it into a revolution and formed a government to lead that revolution. While the men who were fighting it were in the fucking field of the early American Revolution, and specifically the militia's resistance at Concord. Now, we've all heard the story of Betsy Ross and how she sold that first American flag. Do we know who Betsy Ross was? You know, one can almost picture a tall, blue-uniformed General George Washington, 33rd-degree Mason, striding into Betsy Ross's shop in the spring of 1776, accompanied by Robert Morris and George Ross, Betsy's uncle. They were a secret committee sent by Congress to arrange a new flag. So when we tell you that the aristocrats hijacked your revolution, these were the same son of a bitches that were inflicting the tyranny on the colonists in the colonies. God, think of how that must have been to be a militiaman back in them days, and then come to find out that you're inducted into the Continental Army, and the son of a bitch that would had you in stocks beating you because you couldn't pay him enough shekels is over there. He's your new goddamn commander. I mean, the goddamn duplicity has been here from the get-go, people. But here you have a secret committee. I got to believe that these boys here were Masons too, don't you? And they sit down, and because, you know, the thing is, when you went to charge on the battlefield, they weren't fighting for that British flag that they loved so much and being Brits and being freemen under British law. They were fighting for independence from that cursed flag over there that they would piss on in a second, that represented tyranny and slavery. Man, how could they have just let go of that flag like that? That was their flag. Because of what it represented. It ain't the fucking piece of cloth and what, and the colors on it. You fucking retarded, stupid ass truck driver from Idaho. One fella called in, man, and he said, because, like I said, McNeil read this. He said, would you give donations to a guy who piss on our flag? It's your flag, McNeil, you Tory son of a bitch. It's tyranny to everybody else that looks at it. And the guy called in and he said, yeah, I go over trenches all the time and I like their articles and stuff, but I'm unmarking them. You cowardly piece of shit from the East Coast. I will piss on that flag and shit on that flag right in front of you. Then I will pound your ass down into the dirt and rub your face in it, punk. God almighty, man. It is the worship of lie. It is the worship that what we've been told that flag. I mean, from the time we were little kids, hey man, I was there. You know, I'm not just acting like I was born perfect and never fell for any of this shit. That flag, God almighty, man. I was the same way. But you know what? Somebody shows me something like that. You know, that flag represents, you know, you see those people over there on the Gaza Strip. You see those Jews over there plinking at those Palestinian, children and shit and killing them. That's what that flag represents. How do you feel about it now? I don't think I like it very much, sir. I don't think I like that. That flag represents the ripoff of 100 million of my people and putting them into poverty. What do you think of that flag? I don't like that son of a bitch at all. I think I want to burn that bastard and anybody that holds it. But you got to worship that flag. See, everybody's holding on to their own little part of the lie that serves them. And this holding on to the flag, and I tell you, Clarky knows better. But this holding on to the flag is holding on to that notion that they're gonna, that what they want, and make no mistake in your mind, there is no intention of going to war to get your rights back. Your rights are absolutely suspended and they know it. They don't give a fuck. You see what they got, what they want is what, they want to go back 40 years till they're under Reagan with that same fucking flag and they can all walk around and pump each other on the back because they're over in foreign countries killing people for their resources for the Jews and that's all right because goddamn, it's our boys, it's our heroes are doing it. They're over there, well, a lot of them come up to, I fought for that flag. You damn sure did and everything that it represents, huh? What does it represent? You don't wait. What the fuck? You're not going to take a minute and say, well, just exactly what am I worshiping here? Are you worshiping the military that was never supposed to be in this country? Government. That flag stands for government. It was created by government. The people didn't create that flag. George E. Washington, the 33rd degree Mason, and his buddies. Well, let's see who. Oh, here, John Morris. He's one of the guys that was with old Georgie when they went to get that flag. One of the elites, one of the aristocracy, when they went to get their flag of aristocracy, that every little child would be trained as a little child to worship and be glad to go and throw his life away in defense of the. Well, let's see, with these poor people like us, were they just regular folks down here with the rest of us? Robert Morris, a founding father of the United States, oh my God, hallowed be his name, was an English-born American merchant. Oh, not a merchant. They might be a part of, an industry. You know, like ranching, farming, all this shit, it all comes down. It all goes back to the same place. American merchant who financed the American Revolution, oversaw the striking of the first coins of the United States, and signed the Declaration of Independence. That was the hijacking document. The Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union, and the United States Constitution. That's the hijacking. Here's one of the hijackers. Meet one of the hijackers, people. Along with Alexander Hamilton and Albert Gallatin, he is widely regarded as one of the founders of the financial system of the United States, for and by the aristocrats. Under that flag that Joe McNeil reveres so much, oh my gosh, should somebody would talk about peeing on it. They have stolen our fucking nation from us, left us impoverished in the continent, on the continent that our forefathers conquered. Not these son of a bitches like this punk here. I'm talking about them boys out there with rags wrapped around their bloody feet, marching in the snow, crossing the Potomac to go over there and stab a fucking Haitian with a goddamn pike. That's who I'm talking about. Not these elitist son of a bitches. They financed it, you see. And in the end, they came out owning it because they financed it. You went and butt. And that's what it's been since the inception of this country. You go and bleed for it, and they get rich. They cash in what belongs to you.
Let those muskets were, it was so cold the muskets wouldn't fire. Washington told them, you're going to have to use your bayonets, boys. The damn guns aren't going
to
work.
Yeah, they had to cross the Delaware in the middle of, and got in a snowstorm and to go to Trenton to kill. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right, Mark. These are the guys who deserve this country, not these goddamn, we're the financers for the king. Now we're the financers for ourselves. We're going to own everything and you're going to be our slaves. And that was the intent of that fucking flag from the day of its conception. It was their flag. It was never our flag. Our flag is the Bill of Rights. It's separate from anything federal, including that fucking federal flag in all its dimensions and proportions. Anyways, I had to get that out. Now, so nobody, I mean, you don't want to donate to a guy who would piss on a goddamn Tory flag, do you? You fucking Tory Joe McNeil, you stinking fucking goddamn traitor, you son of a bitch. Rotten hell. Because I'll tell you what, you bring that flag a marching and I'll be the motherfucker to meet you, buddy. Supreme Court will decide if civil forfeiture is unconstitutional, violates Eighth Amendment. And boy, did this just jump right out at me when I seen it. It's kind of like when they went, but you know, when they wanted the piss test, when they wanted to piss test you, did they challenge that under the fifth article for the right to not incriminate yourself and the right to due process of the law? No, because they're attorneys and they're here to dismantle your Bill of Rights. So, of course, they challenged it under the fourth article and tried to say, well, your piss ain't really your property after you piss it out. It's not the notion. See, the whole action here is, can somebody force you to piss it out and give it to them? See, that would be due process of law. That would be offering evidence against yourself. It is a crime to do drugs. And I mean, this would have been a simple thing to argue in a court of common law. But see, this is to be put in front of people with no authority to rule over our Bill of Rights, to evaluate it, to regulate it. To change it in any way, they have no authority. The ninth article says no such authority can exist. But here we're going to play the same thing under I said the Eighth Amendment? Under excessive bail and fines? What the hell are they talking about? And then I read it, and I see where they're going and what they're going to try to do here. They're going to try to, well, next thing you know, when they say the asset forfeiture is constitutional, the Supreme Court ruled on it. It was a bullshit case you see, the thing is here, people. We're going to jump in this a little bit. This is from Forbes. For the first time in over 20 years, the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to review the constitutionality of civil forfeiture laws. But just the civil forfeiture laws. No, you can't. They are absolutely a violation of the due process laws in the Bill of Rights, the supreme law of this land. Right there, it should, I mean, there's, like I said, but they always got to go into these side little things. This is what attorneys do. Twisters of words do. They try to make it off in a side thing and just, when it's, well, yeah, you can. Well, no, you can't. Because we're not retarded, we're not ignorant, we can even add and subtract, which allow the government to confiscate cash, cars, and even homes. On Monday, the court granted a curt petition from Tyson Timbs, who was forced to forfeit his $40,000 Land Rover in civil court to the state of Indiana after he pled guilty to selling less than $200 worth of drugs. And this is really what the frightening part is, the merger of the admiralty and the goddamn what is supposed to be our common law authority. The government right now, what we're talking about here is government agents, as agents, are taking on the authority that it only belongs to an American national as American national. You see what I'm saying here? I mean, the authority in a civil forfeiture, and you have to show a damage or why the money's owed to you. Only an American national can file in these courts, but they're doing it in their admiralty courts and pretending like, well, we're a corporation and we're a person too. Where'd they get that? But you're not a corporation, and you cannot sign as an individual on a goddamn a lawsuit, and hence you can, everything they're talking right there is such violations. I mean, that is the complete removal of the procedural due process. But
I got a question here. I mean, can they do that if you got a lien on the, if you're financing that vehicle, they won't do it then, will they? They're only going to do it if you outright own it.
They can't do
no,
it,
they won't.
Period. They can't, yeah. I mean, not against a bank. I mean,
I mean, that's bull. I mean, yeah, that is, unless you, yeah, they're going to take it from you, only, but only if you own it.
Yeah, but it is taking. It's piracy. It is. There's nothing lawful about none of this. But, I mean, the issue they're going to bring up here is the eighth article. You know, before you can get to a fine or a fee, what do you got to have? Before you can even get to giving somebody a bail, what do you have?
Real money.
You have to have, brother, you have to have due process of the law.
Correct.
To get to that point. What they're doing is dismissing the due process of the law. Yeah, they took it from you. They just came and seized your property. You didn't. There was no civil filing against you. You. There was no trial. There was no jury verdict handing your property over. They already did that, but we're just going to talk about an excessive bail or an excessive fine here that can't even exist if the due process does. I mean, for what this guy went through, there's no due process. There was no American national who filed a complaint against him in any form. This was a government agent who has no authority to govern or do anything to an American national. You cannot do it.
Privateer
exactly.
With a letter of marque on high seas who hailed him over and then seized his cargo, basically. It goes back to this layering of the admiralty and the, I would call it the confusion of mixing this hybrid in with the common law, you know, and it can be quite confusing, and that's what we really got to work on is making this bright line distinction.
It is there. It's there. Yeah. Why can't they do it, dude? Why can't
they don't want it or greedy bastards.
No, why can't they mix the jurisdictions?
Oh, no, they can't. They're not supposed to mix the jurisdictions. One thing is you're dealing with the dead letter of the law. The other is the living spirit of the law. They don't exist in the same jurisdiction.
They cannot exist in the same realm.
Correct.
They can't exist, and the Bill of Rights says that we're that's the law we're guaranteed as American nationals. So they, as a government, they cannot operate in the common law because it requires an American national with an actual damage is the only person that can touch your property. That's why the Bill of Rights is put in place, so you could own property. Otherwise, you can't own it. Somebody can just take it arbitrarily like that. If a government can take it, I guarantee you that the men who wrote that Bill of Rights, absolutely, they feared that someday a government would just come, you know, try to do what the king was doing back when he was.
It wasn't a fear, Henry. They knew.
You goddamn right. They knew. You're right.
They knew it would from past history. This is a cycle that has gone on in mankind's history since whenever.
Absolutely, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. Stay tuned, everybody. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Listening to PBFTT.
Patriot broadcast from the trenches. 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1236 Pacific Time. And that was Social Distortion with Down Here with the Rest of Us. And boy, isn't it some kind of place, you know, being one of the insignificants. Back into this article, they're talking under the Eighth Amendment. Boy, we're going to love this. Which allows the government, civil forfeiture laws, which allows the government to confiscate cars, cash, and even homes. No, that is a violation of the Bill of Rights at all. Like too many Americans, Tyson was addicted to opioids, at first taking prescription painkillers before switching to heroin. When Tyson tried to sell undercover officers 4 grams of heroin, he was arrested in 2013. Tyson agreed to serve to one year of house arrest. Now, what's wrong with this? Where was the damage? First place, the undercover cop can't exist. He can't exist. There was no policing forces over the people. You had your constables and your sheriffs. If somebody did something to you and violated your rights, you went to the court and you got the proper papers, and then you went and got the sheriff and you went and did your goddamn duty.
But he made it a commercial act. It's universal commercial code.
Well, are you saying there's something inside that Constitution that the Ninth Article doesn't cover?
No, but I'm just saying that once you sell something, I think that's an argument they use. So
well, they can use whatever argument they want. They do not have the authority. That's the whole point here. We have to just push this shit away. That federal government, push it over there to the side. The state government, push it over there to the side. They have nothing to do with your private life. They never were meant to be. Those flags fly over those state buildings. They have jurisdiction over each other, not over you. They never did. The ninth article said they never would. And they never can. But here it is. And like I said, somebody wants to fight for that flag. The flags over the state buildings, they can have flags. In a common law court, there should be no flag. There is no state jurisdiction in that court. There's no federal jurisdiction in that court. That is the person's jurisdiction, the highest jurisdiction in this goddamn country, the American national's jurisdiction. I guess if each national going in there wanted to bring his personal flag in, he could plant it there while they were doing the court thing to represent his authority. But the federal government has no authority in a common law court. The state government has no authority in a common law court. Their flags have no place in either.
Is that written somewhere?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a jurisdiction of a flag. I mean, flag jurisdiction, like in a battlefield, when you plant your standard, you go and say you're facing two armies off. One army pushes another army back 200 yards. They plant a flag there. That's claiming the jurisdiction over that territory for the apparatus that flag represents.
I'm just trying to recognize common law court.
They have the common law so the thing is their authorities were set out clearly in the original Constitution, and they have no authority in the common law into our private life.
So it's an Article 3 court. Is a common law court that's the same thing?
An Article 3 court? No. I mean, it is and it ain't. I mean, they were to provide courts. I mean, like if you live in a municipality, and one of the things, I mean, it was always supposed to be to further your rights, not to diminish them, to further define them, to make you freer. So, of course, like in your municipality would hold elections so that you, I mean, and just like choosing your constable or your sheriff, you would choose a justice of the peace. And at a higher level, you would choose a superior court judge, say at a county level. That's what those governments were for. They weren't to control your life or to be a part of any of your courts. They were just to provide the courts. So that, and those courts under Title III, they sit nil. They cannot move. That's why they call it moving a court. That court sits nil. It can do nothing. It has no authority. It's just sitting there. Now, if an American national.
Said Title III. You mean Article III Constitution or Title III?
Yeah, an Article III court. Article III. Sorry. Yeah. You're right. An Article 3 court sets null and void. It has no authority, none, to do anything. It can't just arbitrarily go out and say, well, I think homosexuals should be able to marry or anything else. It just sets their null and void. And all the other courts, like these, the capital U.S. courts, you know, like the government courts, they operate within the citadels, within like the state capital, you know, in within certain buildings flagged under goddamn military flags because they are military courts of admiralty. Our court, on the other hand, like I said, it sits nil. When you go in there, it's the person, it's me or you that is invoking the jurisdiction and authority, our personal jurisdiction and authority.
Actually, it's the man.
Yeah.
And the man has to present the charge to move the court.
Exactly.
You have to be a living thing.
You have to be a living being, and you have to present two affidavits. Unless you're doing a civil complaint, like if you're suing somebody, you can do that with one signature. Anything having to do with a civil crime requires two witnesses. It's the two witness rule. It comes from the fourth article, which says that you two affidavits. You would have two affidavits or that court can't do anything. You have to have, and you're going to be responsible for them affidavits. You're lying about somebody and they prove you're lying, man. Oh God, did you just violate their rights? And you're going to pay for it. You see, but what I'm getting to here is that court has no authority. It's the people exercising their authority. It's an apparatus. And so when the people go, you know, you go into to move that court, that's why, you know, like they call it a motion. I mean, a complaint could be a motion. It's everything's in affidavit form. But if it's a complaint, you write a complaint, and you write out an affidavit with yourself as the affiant, and then you write out a separate affidavit if it's a civil crime with a second witness to the crime. And you better be, one of you better be that corpus delicti, or you better have a corpus delicti that you both seen murdered, period. Or you have nothing. You can't move that court. You can't touch an American national without moving a common law court. I guess that's the bottom line here, people. And the government can't move a common law court. Their jurisdiction's admiralty. They can't come into the common law. As officers of the admiralty, they cannot come into the common law. They do not have standing in the common law. Only the American national does. Now, in their courts... Go ahead.
What they say is the people of the state of versus you.
Yeah, that's a creature of the state. That's a fiction in law.
They cannot do it because in the end the state is prosecuting. The state is a piece of paper. It's not a living entity. The state. I mean, you can.
Yeah, that letter of the law.
Now they just say the state, but they used to say people of the state.
Yeah, because that's when they first started introducing district attorneys, which are illegal. A district attorney is a goddamn agent of the state or the county, and he cannot operate in a common law court. And now you got to show that your so-called preliminary process with the grand jury. Now the DAs are walking. Only the DA can go into there, man. Come on, people. They are not allowed into any part of our lives. The government, that was the whole deal with the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers. That government over there that we're creating, supposedly to protect our rights from outside sources, forces coming in and conquering us and taking our rights away. That's why we formed that government. That government now is coming over, and they're the ones who are coming over to bringing their jurisdiction over into our private lives. They never had no authority to do that. They were to stay in that 10-mile square. They had to stay there. That was the only way the people go along with it. You don't let that son of a bitch loose. And like I said, here come these flags. First on the post offices and the military installations. When they planted them flags, they were planting federal authority. And now we come to the point to where the people are crying around, because, like, just like the Bundys out there, because the feds are all up their ass. They're the ones that invited them. They got in bed with them. They're all contracted up with them.
They contracted, yeah.
Yes, sir, they did. Because they're rabbinis. They put out the goody thing through the Masonic lodges and the church congregations. They put out the goody list. This is what you get if you go into contract with the government. And every one of them, the Bundys included, because they do operate a business and industry under corporation, they are agents of the state themselves. That's why they can't go against it. That's why they won't go against that flag.
They're corporate charters.
Yes, they are. They're not freemen like you and me, brother. But through that, going along with the corporate charter, this is how they were allowed through the Masonic lodges and the church congregations. They got all the goddamn land. They got all the resources, a handful of them. That's why you have the 1% and the rest of us, guys. And they did that under that flag. That is their flag. Make no mistake about it. But by God, it ain't mine. That is a flag of treachery.
Yeah, it's not too cool to be pimped out like that, I'm telling you.
No, it ain't, brother.
No, it ain't, man. And I'm not changing the subject any, but there's a, if you can remember this or people listening, the Second South Carolina String Band, they do a cover of "Oh, I'm a Good Old Rebel." And you listen to the words on that song there, people, and you ask yourself, why did they say that? You know, why they hate the Constitution and the Declaration too?
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly. Well, because they seen it for it, they tried. That's what they were doing at the time of the so-called Civil War. They were coming into the South, and they were
trying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were trying to take the people's goddamn rights away from them. And you know what? Mm-hmm. They raised up a rebel flag and they spit on that American flag, didn't they? Goddamn right they did, because they saw it for what it was.
See, but the thing is that South, man, you know, they had agent provocateurs both north and south. And, just like the bankers play both sides. That's what was happening there, man. You know,
you're right, brother.
All this romanticism about the South is going to rise again. Y'all better do some history searching out there and figure out what was going on there.
Well, it's the different levels of understanding. You see, you had them going at each other. That's for goddamn sure. But at the top, it was orchestrated. The whole goddamn war was orchestrated. They had them fight each other. Why did they do that? Oh, because they wanted to take away the charter of the United States as a free republic and make it a corporation. And they wanted to insert the running violation of the Bill of Rights, 14th Amendment. That's why they did it, so that the people would become subjects of the government instead of the government being subjects of the people. That's what that war was about. That's all that war was about. I mean, the propaganda they pumped out there and the way they twisted the history and everything, it doesn't change a goddamn thing. You look back and see what did they do. That's what they did, and that's why they did it. And it's pretty, that's just plain and simple. I want to look at this article a little bit more here. Okay, we were at, when Tyson tried to sell undercover officers 4 grams of heroin, he was arrested in 2013. He agreed to the punishment, $1,200 and court fees, but the state also wanted his Land Rover, which Tyson, see, the state has no authority to take anything from an American national. It can't. It just can't be done. It is forbidden by the 9th article of the Bill of Rights, and it is binding to the states under the 10th. But the state also wanted his Land Rover, which Tyson had bought with life insurance proceeds after his father's death. Determined to keep his truck, Tyson argued that forfeiting the Land Rover would violate the 8th Amendment ban on excessive fines. And they'll go for this shit because they'll have another affirmation on asset forfeiture. No, buddy, this ain't the problem. The problem is they couldn't bother you in the first place. You hadn't hurt no one. You hadn't violated nobody's rights. If somebody wants to buy a 2 grams of heroin from them, you can sell it to them in the United States of these Americas if we're under the Bill of Rights and the common law. Now, you sell them some bad heroin or you sell them some poison and somebody gets killed, then one of them people will take you through their authority into that common law court and have you hung or take everything you got, and they can do it. But the state can't.
What do you mean by affirmation?
I lost me there.
You said that because the state had affirmation, and that's why they did it. You said, mean that they're looking for a previous case? You mean where they did it before that they're using that?
No, they're trying to use this to put down case law, or to put down a ruling in their so-called Supreme Court that can rule on our rights, another ruling for asset forfeiture. Already they're telling you, oh, asset forfeiture, it's legal. No, it ain't. It is a blatant, in-your-face violation of the Bill of Rights. Go wave your flag. It is. It's a complete denial of due process. And it's completely illegal because the people who are doing it can't do it. These agencies, these drug agencies, can't exist. They were never authorized by the people.
I see, Henry, I see it going to more than just chattels. I see this this moving more towards being able to summarily execute without any blowback whatsoever. You know, people are getting killed and beat up anyway right now, but you know, this is just going a step further.
Oh, you betcha. Well, see what it is. These are just another angles, but the prime target in the center of the sights is the procedural due process. The procedural due process is what makes us so we can. Hey, see, that is the, they have to do those things before property can be removed, and it has to be another American national. Government can't do it. Government has no authority in the common law. They are the admiralty. They're apart from us. They're out there in 10 miles square away from us, never going to bother us. Remember, read the Federalist, Anti-Federalist papers. I mean, in the Federalist papers, where they're selling you this bill of shit, that Constitution, which is just a rag piece of shit like the flag that goes with it, when they were selling you this shit, oh, man, you didn't even need a Bill of Rights, guys. They could never, fuck, read the thing. They can't never bother you. Read the Constitution. They have no authority. Like, you gave them this tiny little authority. They can't even, they can go out in the ocean there or something, and in that 10 mile square, but God, they can't even come near you. Why are you worried? That was the attitude back then. I mean, this is what they laid out to sell us on this bullshit. In reality, it was the aristocrats putting together the apparatus that they would use to take the whole country from all the rest of us, and that's all there is to it. And they've done it under that flag, their flag, not our flag, people. It is not the flag of any American national that, believes in the Bill of Rights. If you're a Tory that believes in that government up there that's represented by that flag, you know, that diabolical government that's committed genocide all over the world in your name, then that might be your flag. Or if you worship that illegal military, there will not be no standing military in the United States. If you worship that military and say that's what that flag means to you, I guess you're a Tory, aren't you? because you're worshiping a government that is oppressing, that has removed my rights. You are worshiping a government that, not a government, an insurgency into this government, a goddamn seditious removal of my rights. That's what you're supporting, just like voting. The same people that wave that fucking flag, man, they go right down and they're voting because I'm voting because of the flag thing, man. They do not even understand what it means. It's like the new soldier who puts his hands up and swears to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, so help me God. Does not even know what the fucking document says. What the, you know, this is the problem, people.
Yeah, Henry.
I heard it was the British East India flag, and then Betsy Ross just sewed some stars on the British East India flag.
Well, however she did it, it was done by Masons, the same Masons that wrote the bill, the Constitution. And the Constitution, which is just about verbatim off of the Masonic Constitution, when they say we the people, they didn't mean you and me, people. They meant those who had wealth and held the land. They didn't mean you and me. It was just a con. You go out and you bleed and you die to conquer something, and it belongs to them because, well, they're them and you're you. They're significant. You're insignificant. This shit has to stop once and for all. But in November, the Indiana Supreme Court reversed that decision and instead ruled that the Constitution's excessive fines clause provided no protection to Hoosiers. The excessive fine clause does not bar the state from forfeiting defendant's vehicle, the court ruled, because the United States Supreme Court has held that the clause applies to the state through, are you ready? The 14th Amendment. Illegally written with zero authority. See how they're piecing it together until, well, God, that is due, but they come out and you're accused, boom, shoot you in the head. That was due process. Look it up. We have several Supreme Court rulings that show that that was completely constitutional through this bullshit. Like I said, this one has nothing to do with the other. The very first thing here, where for the first time in 20 years, the Supreme Court has agreed to review the constitutionality of civil forfeiture laws. No, the civil forfeiture is, the state taking your goddamn property is absolutely a total violation of the due process in the Bill of Rights, period. You'd have to be a deadheaded moron who just got hit in the head with a baseball bat to not be able to see that. There's no curve here.
Yes, they do it anyway. Of your, billions every year. They
yeah,
do
so
anyway.
So do we go out there and get all teary-eyed and get a lump in our throat listening to the national anthem, looking at that fucking rag that represents this shit? I don't.
Yeah. I know, Henry, and it's hard for a lot of people to say that. I mean, because they just grew up with that flag, they can't get it out of their damn system. That's the problem, man. They can't see the other side, like you can. And like how you taught us to look the other way, man. It's hard for people to do that. It's not hard.
It's scary. No, they're cowards, Mark. If you have to admit what's truly going on here, you're either a coward and won't admit it, or you're a part of it. You have benefited from it. You made yourself a big trucking company by incorporating with the United States and being a part of this treachery and financing it willingly and supporting it verbally in your day-to-day conversations and talking other people to go out and vote for the government to be over murdering Iraqis or murdering Yemenis or murdering Syrians. You've backed it, you see? And so, goddamn, you would have to admit, oh, man, that you were wrong? Woo!
Yeah, basically, it goes to they're using an adhesion contract on us through obfuscation, whatever form of coercion, you know.
Well, this is blatant. This is blatant rule by force, my friend.
Exactly.
It's ruled by the barrel of a gun. You remove it with the barrel of a gun. That's the only way.
Yeah. Club, rock, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You show up to a gunfight with just your mouth and see how well you fare.
Well, you should bring a gun with you.
Well, yeah.
Show up to a gunfight with a knife, guess what else I have?
Worse than a knife. You're going to show up with your mouth. You're going to talk them out of it. Mm. See, they come there to shoot you and take those gold bars out of your pocket. And that's what they want, them gold bars. They made that clear. They brought the gun. But you're going to talk them out of it. Wave the flag a little bit. Maybe that'll help. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm going to wear a shirt with one on it, that's my protection there, right?
And that's it, man. It deflects bullets. It will. Anyways, guys, we made it to the top. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. man, and if you can afford it, we could use the help, even this, maybe donate to a little bit to this man who would piss on that flag. And that is the word from the trenches.
Cool.